This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm Julian Ng, and together with Lynn Mark and Charles Abdullah, we're going to be talking about Airbnb, a cap on their rates later. We have a poll running, which we hope you will vote on. Should there be a cap on Airbnb's short-term rentals? At the moment, there are only 20 votes. 35% is voting yes, Airbnb prices should be capped, while 30% saying no, it shouldn't. So, go to our Twitter feed at BFM Radio, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, on to the international markets. The US markets closed slightly lower yesterday after the recent all-time highs. This follows mixed earnings from high-profile companies that offered a mixed picture of the American corporations.
Yes, so the Dow Jones, the industrial average, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ all fell 0.2%. Over in Europe, markets were also pretty mixed. The DAX gained 0.6%, UK's FTSE up 0.7%, while France's CAC fell 0.2%.
Now looking at the Asian market, we saw mixed results coming out yesterday. Nikkei fell 0.3%. China Shanghai Composite at 1% higher, closed at 1% higher. Hong Kong Hang Seng dropped about 0.5%. Now, meanwhile, back home, FBM KLCI had a refreshing finishing at higher by 0.65%. As a result of crude oil prices being, making the market sentiment a bit happier.
And the award for the first $1 trillion company in the world, drum roll please, it goes to Microsoft after it announced good earnings. Revenue was about $30 billion, which beats estimates from analysts of $29 billion, and the stock jumped more than 3%. And the stock has climbed about 34% in the past year.
Now, Facebook took a $3 billion charge as well due to the Federal Trade Commission's inquiry into its business. Now, this is following the Cambridge Analytica scandal. And in the company's first quarter earnings, it estimates that the final charge could be as much as $5 billion. However, the social media giant also said total sales for the first 3 months of the year leapt 26% to about $15 billion.
And another news is that North Korea Kim Jong-un arrived in Vladivostok yesterday aboard his armored train, so looking for a friend to help him through a rough patch with President Donald Trump, Russian leader Vladimir Putin. And at the same time, Tesla missed their big first quarter earning as demand fell for electric cars. In first quarter in 2019, Tesla revenue for the quarter reached $4.54 billion, missing the $5.19 billion expected by analysts.
We have Stephen Innes on the line. He's going to talk markets with us. He's the head of trading and market strategy with SPI Asset Management. Good morning, Stephen. As the US and China move towards finalizing their agreement next month, both sides are possibly agreeing to have the WTO as the final arbiter. Do you view this as positive for markets?
I think I view it as watered down, which means that the two are ready to deal and two are pretty close. If we get it to this stage, suggests that there's a direct roadmap to resolution. We're starting to see the trade representatives go over to Beijing next week. I think that's a very positive sign that progress is starting. However, will these two ever see eye to eye on everything? Unlikely not. But, you know, we're cautiously optimistic that this could provide a significant boost to global markets, provided the $200 billion in tariffs are fully removed. That's a big if at this point. So we just have to sit back and wait and see how the resolution develops.
Now, Stephen, investors were also cautiously optimistic, perhaps until the next series of China data, despite additional monetary policy easing by the PBOC, as well as the developments on the US-China trade front. What data are investors keeping a lookout for to support the view that mainland China's economy is heading towards a trajectory of allowing a soft landing?
You know, it really comes down to growth. Any of the growth datas, industrial data, trade data, even inflation data to a degree, because that also tends to provide health of the economy. I think all the data is really considered important. But also what's important is to keep in mind is what are the far-reaching inputs that China's economic pivot having on the globe, particularly in Europe. Remember, we have to look at this in a global growth narrative, and this is where the issues are coming up right now for investors. The economic data in Europe doesn't seem to be feeding off this China stimulus, or even the Fed put, or for that matter, the dovish ECB turn. Now, we actually anticipated the positive pivot in China to actually filter through to the EU economy. That's certainly not happened. Another weak slate of data that came out of Europe today. So it's not only China we're concerned with, it's the globe in general that we're really hoping that this China stimulus is going to spur on the next round of growth.
Thank you so much for joining us. That was Stephen Innes, Head of Trading and Market Strategy with SPI Asset Management. And guys, a big growth driver of the world economy, rich people. According to Frank Knight's 2019 Attitude Survey, ultra-wealthy Asians are favouring cash and less cyclical assets like bonds and cash, bonds and gold, actually.
Yes, the safe havens. So the key findings of the survey included that Asia-Pacific's ultra-high net worth individuals are expected to allocate more of their wealth to cash. 57% of the Asian respondents expect allocations to cash to increase over the next 12 months, higher than the global average of 48%. Now, notably, wealthy individuals in China and Malaysia are expected to increase exposure to gold, which is a typical safe haven asset during times of uncertainty.
So this is really not helping growth, just on the
side of it, isn't it? It's like squirreling away your cash and putting them into gold.
That's right. So in Malaysia, I mean, we're looking at the wealth manager, you know, being optimistic about growing their clients' wealth. And after more than half reported an increase in their fortune of their clients in 2018, so 78% of wealth managers expect their clients' wealth to grow in 2019, despite all the challenges that's coming in with the market volatility.
Yeah, I think this is a sort of risk of attitude, because gold is in many respects a kind of currency. And you're switching into a safe currency, basically, because gold has an exchange rate with every single currency in the world. This is not, as you say, a good sign for either the Malaysian economy or the Malaysian market. But then again, these are very, very rich people. They have a lot of money which they don't need to use. And therefore, it could be status quo, right? Because economies are all about marginal movements, right? The differences in what you have spent this year compared to last year. Perhaps they already have squirreled a lot of their money away, and therefore no change to the impact on economies.
Now, usually investors only look to increase their cash holdings and buy gold as a safe haven only when they're concerned that there's going to be a market correction, right? So I guess what the question here is, what do these people know that we don't? Or is it that we do know it, but we just don't have the money to buy into so much gold as they do?
Yeah, I think it's slightly a little bit of the latter as well, because they have all these extra cash, which they don't know what to do with, and therefore they don't spend them or invest them in risky stocks. But for the rest of us, we need to plan for our retirement. We need to plan for our household budget, and therefore we can't squirrel away too much money in gold. Bear in mind that gold has done very well so far this year, some of its best performance, I think, in a decade.
Yeah, and maybe it's also the fact that it's simple. It's like, you know, we're looking at simplicity. History tends to repeat itself. And so far, you know, looking at the great financial crisis that we had in 2008, now before it, you know, it was the Asian financial crisis in 1997. So, you know, every 10 years. So we're looking at, despite the US market at an all-time high, maybe what's happening here is that rich people, you know, they just want to lock in their gains.
All right, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.